Well, if you're not an economist, it could be tough to kind of get a feel for what exactly is going on with the American economy, for good or for bad. The news is mixed. A positive weekly jobs report last week, some disappointing GDP numbers. We've had fairly flat economic growth in May and June, and this wrangling over the debt ceiling hasn't made it any easier. This Friday, we'll get another data point, which is our new monthly economic numbers. But in the meantime, there is a constant here, and it's the numbers of unemployed. That stayed relatively unchanged for a long time. 25 million Americans couldn't find work last month. And we want to get your stories about long-term unemployment and your solutions.
Victoria Hardiman in Ames, Oklahoma. Oklahoma has an extensive network of vocational schools, technical schools that cost very little money to attend, that turn out plumbers, assistants of every kind in medicine and veterinary work. More states need to copy this model because we get people out on the streets and working within 9 months at a minimal cost to them.
Give us your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Today, though, we're going to look at long-term unemployment. And joining us is Megan McArdle, senior editor at The Atlantic. So, Megan, good morning.
Morning.
So take apart these jobless numbers for me. People are always saying that these monthly numbers that come out and these weekly numbers that come out aren't a real reflection of how many unemployed there are because they don't include the discouraged workers. So do we have any real idea about how many people in the United States have been unemployed long term?
Well, what we know, we have a couple of ways of looking at this. The first is that we can look at things like unattached workers. We have various categories of unemployment, and the headline number isn't necessarily the only number we have. When you look at the workers that include people who are involuntarily working part-time, people who are unattached or marginally attached to the workforce, they say, people who kind of want a job but haven't been actively looking, that unemployment number is even higher than the one we have. It's in the double digits. And so it's a real concern. And then the other way we have of looking at it is the labor force participation rate. And really that peaked in 2000, and we've never seen those highs again.
All right. So are there any signs that there has been some improvement at the job market, or is it basically stagnant?
At this point, unfortunately, it really looks basically stagnant, you know, and for a long time, economists were asking, I don't understand, you know, the economy is coming back, why aren't jobs coming back? And I think with last week's GDP numbers, we got the answer. As economist Justin Wolfer said, we weren't having a jobless recovery, we were having a recoveryless recovery. And in fact, growth is just really low, and it's not enough to pull all of the people back into the labor market who were forced out of it.
All right. The one thing that's distressing with all this is we begin to talk about how many people have been unemployed and unemployed long term. We've been getting reports that there is job postings now that say, please do not apply if you are unemployed. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have. And it's really tragic, although it's not something, it's not new with these ads. As Kevin Drum, who's a blogger, pointed out, who's worked in management, it's always really been hard to get reemployed if you have a long gap on your resume, particularly if that long gap is recent. That said, this is a little different because the demand for new workers is so low that, for one thing, we have more of these people who are long-term unemployed than we ever had before. There's less reason to suspect that, say, these were the incompetent person that their employer got rid of and now can't find a job because they're terrible. It's not really a reasonable assumption now. It really could just happen to anyone. And you know, the third problem is that we're just not moving people back into the labor force. When you look at what's called the JOLTS data, which is a series put out by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, it's actually really interesting because what we saw with the recession was not what you would think, which is a spike in firings. What you actually saw was that both separations, which is people either leaving or getting fired, and new job and new employment, which is people going back into a new job, fell precipitously basically at the same time. And obviously separations was higher, but it wasn't that much higher. The real thing is no one's hiring. You know, once you get out of the labor force, very hard to find another slot to fit back into.
We're speaking with Megan McArdle, senior editor at The Atlantic. And I want to remind you that we do want to get your stories of long-term unemployment. If you are or have been unemployed long-term, or you have a solution to it, 877-8-MY-TAKE. So Megan, is actually legal to tell people that they will not hire someone who's been long-term unemployed? Can they ask you that question and bar you from employment?
Yeah, it looks like they can. You know, it's not a civil rights would be a lot of people. Instinctively, it sounds like it should be illegal, but it's not a protected category of worker under the Civil Rights Act the way that age or race, color, or creed is. And so, yeah, you can pick people out. And really, the problem is, even if it weren't legal, it would be very hard to go against go up against someone and prove that they were discriminating based on the length of time in your resume.
Well, not if they have, please don't apply if you're unemployed.
That is true. No, but
it's kind of a marker.
I mean, there are people suggesting that it might be age. It might count as age discrimination and be a sort of backdoor way to discriminate against older workers who are, they're actually not hit harder in the terms of separations. They're not being fired. They're actually being not, they're, young people are being fired at disproportionate rates. But they are not being taken on again. It's very hard to find another job when you're over 50.
Is there any advice you have for somebody who is long-term unemployed, Megan?
It's absolutely, do not keep applying to jobs on Monster online, because the problem with these things is that the cost is so low, right? You can just click and apply. People are absolutely flooded with resumes, and getting your resume picked out of the pile, especially if you've got a big gap, really difficult. And so my advice is to try a bunch of things. Is first of all, leave your house, go volunteer, go work at Walmart, but do something that's getting you out of the house every day. First of all, because being unemployed is psychologically debilitating. And second of all, because you're probably going to find that next job through a person, someone who knows you, someone who you waited on at Walmart or worked with at Walmart, or someone who you met volunteering. That person is going to be the person who says, oh, you should talk to this person. They've been unemployed for a long time, but they're great. They work really hard. I love them. Please take a look at their resume. It gives you, if you're working, a little bit of extra cash, which is a nice psychological cushion, but mostly it keeps you active. The second thing is, you really have to think outside of the box. I know this is sort of a cliche, but you have to be trying a lot of things at once. I was actually long-term unemployed for 2 years during the last recession, and what got me out was at one time I was doing freelance journalism, I was doing tech consulting, I was trying to start a business, and the people who get out are often those people because they've got a lot of escape routes, right? They're creating more than one exit for themselves. They don't know which one's going to hit.
Yeah, that's Megan McArdle, business and economics editor for The Atlantic. Thanks so much, Megan.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.